Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
Joe Biden crushed Bernie Sanders last night in the lesser Super Tuesday primaries, but Joe Biden's got some major, major problems as he gets into an altercation, verbal, with a voter in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. First of all, I have to tell you that there's no doubt that Joe Biden had an incredibly, incredibly good night last night. No doubt. That is our big story of the day today, which is brought to you by Christian Heating and Air Conditioning. It's Christian Heating and Air Conditioning, your community's trusted HVAC provider since 1989. Call to schedule your preseason AC tune-up and ask about their seasonal installation rebates and specials. Act now and get a head start on summer. Call Christian today at 888-2-CHRISTIAN or log on to ChristianHVAC.com. The big story of Joe Biden's success last night in the Super Tuesday. Now, put all these things together, and obviously you come up with the piece of the puzzle that I've been talking about for a while now. I called Bloomberg wrong, but can you blame me when you think about Joe Biden and all these gaffes and all these stumbles and think to yourself that the party would be smarter to choose the guy with billions of dollars than the guy with the babbles? Like, Bloomberg's billions over Biden's babbles is not even a question. I still can't believe they made this choice. I get it. Bloomberg was terrible at the first debate, but the guy's got billions of dollars. Biden can't control this guy. He's literally unhinged. And I'm telling you right now that his advisors are very worried, because when you've got a candidate who gets in a one-on-one altercation with a voter, one voter, out of the 80 million voters that he's trying to win for president, or 60 million, whatever it is. I mean, come on. This is insane. And then as he's walking into the car, and they got to like help him in, and he says that Bernie is with Trump, and it's not a good look, you know, and it's not a good look. And this guy is, that's why I still think something else is at play here. The way that all these Democrats came around to Joe Biden so quickly and just backed him, and I feel like there's a missing piece in all this we just have yet to figure out. And maybe it'll come in the convention. I don't know. Maybe it'll come in the form of Michelle Obama. I don't know. I don't know anything. I have no way to know these things. I can only just tell you my gut says something's amiss here. This has to be. This is not healthy and normal. Now, granted, the media's on his side and they're covering for him. I mean, over at Newsbusters, I was reading how the big media last night, the big three, CBS, ABC, and NBC, when they reported on the Biden thing, they manipulated the video. I don't know if there has to be a manipulation warning on that now, like there has to be on the Twitter video that the White House tweeted of Joe Biden saying that Trump's going to win, which wasn't manipulated. But according to Newsbusters, the viral moment from an auto plant in Detroit Tuesday, a raging Joe Biden lashed out and threatened to assault an auto worker who confronted him about his support for curtailing Second Amendment rights. The threat was omitted by all three broadcast networks, and Univision, and CNNEE, and Telemundo. What NBC Nightly News did was particularly deceptive in that they completely cut around Biden's threat of physical violence. In the NBC coverage of the tense confrontation, correspondent Gabe Gutierrez noted that Biden did want to ban the so-called assault weapons before boasting that the vice president pulled no punches. He then played the manipulated audio, of Biden saying, we'll take away your AR-14s. The auto worker saying, that's not okay. You're working for me, man. And Biden saying, I'm not working for you. Give me a break, man. Don't be such a horse's ass. The marked transition where Biden can be heard in an unedited video saying, don't tell me that, pal, or I'm going to go out and slap you in the face. The whole confrontation which is longer. I'll play the whole confrontation. ABC's World News Tonight, and CBS Evening News didn't dare get close to that portion of the video and downplay Biden's action. CBS politics reporter Ed O'Keefe simply suggested Biden got testy when a man who asked why he wants to take away the guns. Over at ABC, senior national correspondent Terry Moran reported that along with the chants and cheers, an angry confrontation with one auto worker confronted Biden on guns. Moran even included a sizable soundbite of Biden lying about his position on taking away guns. None of the English or Spanish language networks mentioned that Biden had also told a female campaign staffer to shush after she tried to defuse the situation and move him away. So that's what I mean. The media is going to cover up for Joe Biden as much as they possibly can. And this is why this stinks so bad. Let's hear the exchange, and I'll stop it as we go, and I'll kind of break it down.
How you intend on getting the union vote when there is a large portion of the union workers that are gun enthusiasts, and you are actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment right and take away our guns?
You're full of
All right, thank you.
Now, shush. Shush. I support the Second Amendment.
Now, let's stop it. So that moment right there of Joe Biden telling his campaign aide to shush, shush. Now, here's a man... A grown man telling a young woman to shush, shush. And none of the three networks reported on it last night. None. None of them. Not ABC, not CBS, not NBC. And where I come from, that's demeaning to a campaign worker. It's demeaning to an employee, whether it's a man or a woman, that's demeaning. In front of all these cameras and all these people to look at your aide, who's trying to help you, by the way. You know, this woman's doing her job and trying to protect the candidate. That's her job, and she's doing it. She's doing a good job of it, too, by the way. That's her job. And I've been in that position. It's not easy. I've been in that position where I've had to tell the reporters, okay, enough is enough. And I've had to grab my candidate and move him. I've had to do that before. It's not an easy job. But when the candidate turns around and embarrasses you like that and says, shush, shush, that completely destroys any credibility you have with the media. See, if this young woman had any backbone, she'd quit today because the media can't take her seriously now that the candidate shushed her in front of all of them. And her job is to be the badass. I mean, her job is to be the one that gets in the reporters' faces, threatens them, like George Stephanopoulos did in 1992 when he was the press secretary for the Clinton campaign. You got to get in their faces. You got to threaten them. You got to protect the candidate at all costs. You got to be the bad guy. And it's all based on the idea that the candidate respects you and you control access to the candidate. Now, if that is not, I mean, if that's not happening, then you have no power anymore. You can't tell the media enough, last question, because they're not going to believe you. You can't threaten them and say things like, well, you'll never get an interview with them because they won't believe you. They won't believe you've got that kind of muscle, so to speak. What Joe Biden did here in this shush part needs to be discussed. Because not only are we living in the Me Too era, and here's a grown man who just talked down to a woman and shushed her in front of all these men, which I thought was misogyny. I thought that was everything we're trying to work against now in this new era of which we live in. I thought that was the kind of thing. I mean, if that happened here at work, if that happened where there was a meeting and you know, the head of sales shushed one of his salespeople who happened to be female, I mean, he'd probably lose his job over it. You know, she started speaking in a meeting and he looked at her and said, shush, shush. This is Joe Biden. This is the next, potentially the next president of the United States of America. And none of the networks reported on this part. And I'm telling you, from doing that job, he not only cost this woman a lot of credibility and insult her and belittle her in front of all these people, but where are all the feminists today? Where are all the feminists running to her defense? Where are all the feminists running to her defense today and saying, you know what, Joe Biden, that is unacceptable. You do not talk to a woman like that. You do not belittle and talk down to a woman like that. It's hard enough for her to have to be a female press secretary with all these men. And now you've done something and made her job 10 times harder. Where are all those feminists today? This is as frustrating as hell double standard, right? The media will cover for this guy. They won't report on it. They'll act like it never happened. The feminists won't say a word. If Trump had shushed anybody, and I can tell you, I was around Donald Trump a lot in that campaign. He never shushed Hope Hicks, not one time. Never. He would never do that. Even when I was in the Oval Office with him, And Roma came over to say, you know, she'd give me the sign like it was over. The president just took his hand and gently waved her away. He didn't look at her and say, shush, shush. But if Trump had done that, it would be a national story. It would be we'd have press conferences. We'd have to have a national conversation. If you did that at work to a woman, you'd have to go to re-education camp and sensitivity training if you were able to keep your job, by the way. Joe Biden does it. Nobody cares. Once again, please.
Second Amendment right and take away our gun.
You're full of
All right, thank
now,
you.
Now, no, shush. Shush. I support the Second Amendment. Second Amendment, just like right now, if you yell fire, that's not free speech. And from the very beginning, I have a shotgun, I have a 20-gauge, a 12-gauge.
By the way, just for the record, I need to make this point very, very clear as a public safety announcement in accordance with the FCC. You have every right to yell fire if there is a fire. Okay, this needs to be said. I was asked by management to please clarify that point. If there's a fire, for the love of God, please yell fire. Okay? All right, very good. Thank you.
From the very beginning, I have a shotgun, I have a 20-gauge, a 12-gauge, my son's hunt. Guess what? You're not allowed to own any weapon. I'm not taking your gun away at all. You need 100 rounds?
So when you were in Beto, no, when you said you're going to take our guns,
I did not say that. That's not true. I did not say that.
It's a viral video.
Well, it's a viral video like the other ones they're putting out that are simply a lie.
Your voice, you said that you're taking the guns.
Oh, he just clarified it.
Wait. Take your AR-14s.
Okay, this is not okay.
Hold on.
All right.
Hey, let's go. Don't tell me to go outside.
There's a lot of guys.
I'm not worried. Hold on.
There. First of all, I don't know what the hell an AR-14 is. That's one thing. That's for, I guess, another show. But then he says, I'm going to take you outside, man, and slap you. And that's again, glossed over by the media, that he threatens the guy. Take you outside. I'm going to take you outside, man. This is the guy who is potentially going to be the president of the United States of America, who we're going to look to be able to be calm in moments of great international crisis. Because that president has the ability to declare nuclear war on his own, without a committee, without the approval of the generals. Remember what they said about Trump in 2016, right? He's got his finger on the button and he's unhinged. He's unstable. We can't trust him. Remember all the commercials, the guys in the nuclear silo, right? Talking about how Donald Trump would start World War III because he's erratic and he'd get angry on Twitter and then he'd launch global thermonuclear war. Remember that? This is the potential president of the United States getting into a voter's face and then threatening to take him outside. Take him outside. How is this guy capable of having his finger on the button and being the commander in chief of the United States of America? How? Explain that to me. All right, keep going.
A lot of guys
Now, Biden says, are you allowed to own a machine gun? No. So you can't own an AR-15. The guy says it's not a machine gun. And then Biden got annoyed because obviously it's not a machine gun. But you see, the point of this, though, is Biden's mental state here. Nobody thinks this is a good idea. Now, they're trying to spin, like David Frum, former speechwriter for President Bush, who's a never-Trumper. He said, kind of amazing that anybody thinks this video makes Biden look anything other than terrific. He shushes the aide who wants to lead him away and then engages a hostile critic face-to-face, fact-to-fact, impressive. He shushes the aide who wants to lead him away, the young female aide who wants to lead him away, shushes him, and then gets in this guy's face and starts screaming at him. This is an American vote. This is an American citizen, a voter. Do we not deserve more respect from our elected officials and for them to threaten to kick our ass? Honestly, I got to ask the question. Do we not deserve a little bit more from our elected officials than that? And the guy says, you work for me. And he goes, I don't work for you. And then the potential next president of the United States of America calls the guy a horse's ass. You heard that, right? As kids in the car, I got to censor the vice president. A horse is behind. You heard that, right? Is that what we the people get from our elected officials, that they're allowed to belittle us and yell at us and do all these things? Because I know that when Trump was mean to people on Twitter, as a nation, we were having a national conversation about how can the president do this to people? How can the president say mean things to people? Remember that? And when the president was blocking people on Twitter, we had a national conversation, the media asking the question of how can he block people on Twitter? How can he make fun of people on Twitter? Remember that? All that stuff, right? But why is it okay for a potential president of the United States to physically threaten somebody? And this is not the first time Joe Biden's done this, by the way. This is not the first time, as you know. Joe Biden has done this several other times. I'll play you a couple of those clips as well.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Not the first time Joe Biden has had altercations with workers and voters, I mean. This is Biden in August to Anderson Cooper on whether he'll come for guns. This is the clip that the worker was talking about, by the way, because the guy said, you said you're coming for your guns. And Joe Biden said, I'm not coming for your guns. I never said that. And the guy said, it's a viral video. And Joe Biden says that's not true. It's exactly true. This is what he told Anderson Cooper.
Buy an assault weapon that has multiple rounds, or buy an assault weapon that has 100 rounds, even though it may not, you can't point to the fact that it, in fact, had stopped it before. Do you want more of them on the street? Do we want to do that?
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period. Look, the Second Amendment doesn't say you can't restrict the kinds of weapons people can own.
Now, Joe Biden had the reporter who tweeted out that video yesterday was from CBS News, and he follows Joe Biden on the campaign trail. Biden called the guy a pain in the neck. This is from October of 2019. Take a listen.
Iowa.
You're a pain in the neck, but go ahead. You scream a lot.
All right. Well, you keep saying that your opinion has not changed on super PACs, but now there's a super PAC set up to support you. Will you be discouraging your supporters from donating to the super PAC?
No. Look, what's happened is Donald Trump has come forward and is getting special interest money to go out and tell lies about me that you are reporting regularly, that everybody else knows are simply not true. Now, if in fact, I believe, if that was happening to any other candidate, there'd be Democrats who are responding the same way the Democrats are responding to take on Trump because of what's happening. It's not about me. They have a right to do this. I have done nothing to cooperate with them. But I tell you what, when I am president, if I'm president of the United States, we are going to end this process. We're going to move toward a constitutional amendment to limit the amount of money that can be spent and public funding of elections. And so, but this is, I have no control over this. None. This is not like a super PAC that I was part of, that I set up. I haven't done that.
Now, he calls the guy fake news, basically, but he says you keep reporting on these things that are fake. He calls the guy a pain in the neck, says he screams a lot. None of that gets reported. Nobody cares, right? Because it's Trump who hates the media and calls the media fake news, not Joe Biden. That's the narrative. And then do you remember the time that he called the guy fat? Remember that? The guy who he challenged to do push-ups or whatever?
He called him a damn liar.
Damn liar. Remember that?
Yeah.
Take a listen to that.
But you, on the other hand, sent your son over there to get a job and work for a gas company, but he had no experience with gas or nothing, in order to get access to the public, for the president. So you're selling access to the president just like he is. So
you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has heard that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I don't. I get up and no. Let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take a nice pizza. Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong. I did not on any occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I didn't
one
say you were doing anything wrong.
You said I set up my son to work in an oil company. Didn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
That's But I read here on MSNBC.
You don't hear that on MSNBC. You did not hear that at all. What you heard? Look, okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
No, I don't want to.
Well, yeah, you do. But look, Fat, look, here's the deal.
Look fat. See? Look fat.
You don't have any more backbone than Trump does.
Now, there was a. This is a little montage put together. Is this Grabian, Greg?
No, actually, I believe this was put together by Joe Concha.
Joe Concha. All right, so this is a little montage of the liberal media and former 2020 Democrat candidates questioning Biden's mental abilities.
The question is, does he still have his stuff? And
spontaneity.
Yeah, and is he? How sharp is he?
Sometimes a lack of clarity, and I think that's what I'm hearing on the ground. I think that's what a lot of people are thinking, and you know, we can't afford that at this point.
You just said that 2 minutes ago. Are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Being for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago?
I think that Castro has some really legitimate concerns about, can he be someone in a long, grueling campaign that can get the ball over the line? And he has every right to call that out. There are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder.
Yeah. Well, I guess all that's behind us now, right? I guess it's all behind us now in terms of questioning Joe's abilities. I don't really get it. I don't know how the Democrats chose Biden over Bloomberg. I don't get it here. Of course, CNN, they found a way to spin this. Some people see a guy, a potential president, cursing out a voter as, charming.
One of the things you see, A, you're the front runner. People start to show up to get in your face a little bit. B, Michigan, going back to Ronald Reagan, this is why they have the term Reagan Democrats. You have, you know, white factory workers, mostly white men who own guns, who think the Democrats are going to take them away. Joe Biden today having one of those moments. Joe Biden defending his position on gun control, saying the gentleman on the floor was exaggerating it, that he's not coming to take away their guns. But he's called the man, he said he's full of, and then he called them a horses. It's noon or it's 9 o'clock out in California. I'm not going to fill in the blanks there. You know, again, some people see that as charming, a candidate who's willing to air it out face to face with a guy on the floor. Some people say, whoa, you could choose different words, couldn't you?
Yeah, Biden has had a few of these interactions with voters over the course of the primary campaign where he's sort of used some language that is, you know, a little bit questionable. But I think for his campaign, they've pushed it out and said that this shows Biden's authenticity, the no malarkey part of the Biden approach to politics.
So I don't think that hurts Joe Biden.
No.
His campaign has been tweeting it out, basically.
Right.
that shows him pushing back on an issue that is a signature issue.
Probably not a Biden voter anyway, though. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah,
that guy did not appear to be
a Sanders one either.
Did not appear to be a Sanders or a Biden.
Notice that none of them care about him shushing the female aide. Nope. They don't care. They don't even mention it. They don't even bring it up. Such frauds, these people. They really are. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. All right. So let's see now. Bernie had a big night last night, and there's still hope for Bernie, I guess. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came out, tried to soothe Bernie Sanders voters after a very, very tough night for Bernie. She was out there to give her her feeling, her heart.
Oh boy.
A motivational speech.
She loved this.
Oh yes.
If you are fighting for a progressive future, if you are fighting for everyday people, if you are fighting for working people, if you are fighting for healthcare as a right, there's a lot of folks out there that want you to be demoralized. There's a lot of folks out there that don't want you to vote. And it has been my opinion, and it will always be my opinion, that the number one enemy that anybody has, especially this movement and our movement has in politics, is cynicism. It's not any one person.
Cynicism.
It's not any one actor.
Why would you ever be cynical?
It is how we show up every day. And I think it's important that if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling down, let yourself feel that way. But the number one rule in politics, my opinion, and in organizing in general, is to never, ever, ever, ever let your heart turn black.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Now, why did she say let your heart turn black is my question.
It's a great question.
Because it turns out, as a matter of fact, CBS News warned against words and phrases that are now racist.
Uh-oh.
And I believe the phrase, your heart turning black, should be on this list, based upon what CBS News has decided.
Because there's a negative connotation by saying, like, your heart's turning black.
Your heart's turning black, exactly.
It's evil. Your heart's evil, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And that's racist, apparently.
According to CBS News?
According to CBS.
Okay.
Little montage. I'm going to play it for you in just a second.
Thanks for taking the Scioli Show with you. Rich Scioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It turns out that certain words are now racist on the CBS morning show with Gayle King and
the other guy
and the other person.
Yeah, who are they? Yeah, I don't even know
who's on that show. Anyways, Norah O'Donnell does the CBS Evening News now, right?
Yes. Right.
So who are the people on the CBS morning show?
Anthony Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Who the hell's Anthony Mason?
It's the older white guy and the younger white guy. I don't know.
Oh.
It's like Gayle and two guys.
This is definitely the lesser morning show. I mean, they are the lesser morning show. There's no doubt, right? And the ratings and everything has to be.
Yes, 100%.
So CBS warns common words and phrases are now racist. They had a segment here. Co-host Tony DeCoupel lectured at the top of the 8:30 a.m. half-hour segment.
Who?
He then touted a new children's version of the book, Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. And take a listen.
Many headlines referred to the stock market plunge yesterday as Black Monday. And that is just one of the subtle and not so subtle ways that racism has been braided into our everyday culture.
So many misconceptions and truly lies throughout the history of what children are taught about their history. I hate to put it that directly, but, you know, when you go back and you look at people like a Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, these founding fathers who are so revered, how do you reteach that?
Even terms like Black Monday, mm-hmm. Black sheep, can be freighted with it with a negative connotation that sometimes we don't even realize.
It's baked into the vocabulary.
Yeah,
yeah, and I don't think we
How about,
even
can I ask a question? How about blackened fish?
Oh.
Because you know, you go to the restaurant, they go, would you like the salmon blackened? They put pepper on it, I believe, and they sear it. Is that how they get the blackened crust? So is that racist?
Yes.
It must be.
Damn right it is.
You know, when I was in high school, my nickname was Blackie. Because my natural hair color, I recently colored it blonde for fun, but you know, my natural hair color is just black shiny hair.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they would say now.
Oh, now you'd be expelled from school.
But it wasn't my fault.
Doesn't matter.
Actually, it's Mr. Holmes, my like psychology teacher, started. It's like Blackie, because it was a lot of blonde people in Minnesota there, so I was like an anomaly.
Well, you'd be out. I'm telling you right now. He'd be fired. You'd be out. Everybody would be out. But how about these words are in common language every day? Black Monday, black sheep.
Right.
Right? We use these words. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just said, don't let your heart turn black.
Yep.
Right? You heard that.
We did.
So how come that's not racist when she says it, but it's racist if somebody else says it. I'm so confused.
Black Monday.
They're going to have to say, like, to the Darth Vader side. They're going to have to start finding, I guess, another way to say it if they genuinely think this is racist.
Yeah, well, whether they genuinely do or not, they did an entire segment on the CBS Morning Show.
Is to never, ever, ever, ever let your heart turn black.
Racist! There you go. See that?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't say it, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I can't believe they devoted an entire segment to this on the CBS Morning Show. Like, there's not anything else going on in the world.
What about a blackout?
Oh.
What about if there's a media blackout? Or what if there's a power blackout? Like, should energy companies now change that phrase if there's a power outage to say, don't say blackout anymore?
Power outage. That's your exactly right.
Gotta say that, right? Can't say blackout.
And journalism schools and communication schools teach this stuff. And companies will reissue, you know, terminology just because of what you're saying.
So
this is a real thing.
So you can't say anymore that there's going to be a media blackout on something.
Correct.
Wow. All right. Well, good to know. What other times is the word black used in culture besides black heart, as the racist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said? Black and fish.
Yes.
Black and white cookie.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
Do we have to rename the cookie?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you see a black squirrel, that's good luck.
Are there black squirrels?
Yes, they're very rare. And it's very good luck if you see a black squirrel.
Is that rare?
Yes.
The black squirrel.
Sorry, I just had to bring up the black
squirrel. Dawn lives in her own world. Like, I have no... Sometimes she brings these things up, and I'm just like, okay. Like,
and does the squirrel sing at night?
Ha ha. Yeah, they sing at night.
Squirrel sings happy squirrel songs. My God. World is going crazy. By the way, my favorite coronavirus story... This is my favorite of all of it. You know, there's always opportunities in life, right?
Yes.
You got to figure out what the opportunity is. Armed gunmen swipe a lot of money in an aqueduct racetrack heist. They went in wearing masks. Everybody walks around now with these masks on for the coronavirus. You know, and in the old days, if a couple guys walked into a place with masks on, security would be alerted. Now everybody's got a mask on their face, right?
Right.
So now for thieves, they just have to walk in, and if anybody says anything, go, dude, corona. Right? Then they're able to go in, rob the place, and nobody even knows.
That's
because
true.
They got the mask on. These guys were, that's pretty impressive, right? In the old days, you had to wear the masks of the presidents, Greg. Do you remember from the
yes.
movie Point Blank? You had to wear the president masks.
Nixon. And...
Yeah, all the former presidents, you know, you rob banks with those masks on. Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter.
Now you just wear a Corona mask.
Corona mask.
Armed gunmen swipe a lot of money in aqueduct racetrack heist. That's amazing. The Bachelor audience last night was the season finale of The Bachelor, and I don't really care, but I do care about this. The Bachelor audience was hit with a coronavirus disclosure form.
Oh,
everybody who was in the audience had to sign a disclosure to say that they hadn't traveled to countries recently hit by the by the coronavirus. They had to verify that, or they had to verify if anybody had COVID-19 symptoms before they could sign the thing and then stay and watch the final episode of the Bachelor. So
I don't want to say.
Apple updates the iPhone cleaning guidelines as coronavirus spreads. Do you read about this now?
Yeah, that's I mean
what you should do is take the entire iPhone and drop it into bleach. No, don't do that. That's not a good idea.
I don't think that's going to work.
Don't do that. But you know your phone is filthy, right? You know that it's disgusting?
Yes.
Disgustingly filthy.
Because everybody brings it into the... Oh, yeah. So.
We've also talked about how certain industries are being hurt by the coronavirus, the fear around it. Well, there's good news. Remember those ridiculous cuddle parties they were having?
Oh, yes.
The non-sexual cuddle parties?
With men.
Yeah, men would just cuddle with other men.
Like spooning, afternoon spooning.
Right, the afternoon spooning when guys just want to cuddle together, but they're not gay. Now, there's anything wrong with that, but, you know... Just kind of feel like, guys, like, be who you are and stop hiding behind the cuddling. Like, live your best life, right? Go live your best life. Coronavirus kills monthly cuddle party for non-sexual snuggles. They are not doing now. There's a ban in San Francisco for 2 weeks on these cuddle parties. They're out.
How will they get by without
emotionally,
cuddling?
How will they get by without being able to cuddle?
Great question. And can they sue?
That's a great question.
Because,
I don't know.
You know.
Now, here's
anxiety.
The ultimate question I have. We know about industries that have been hurt by the coronavirus fear. What are some of the common industries that you can think of?
Airlines,
right?
Cruise
hotels.
Ships, hotels. How about strippers?
Ooh, yeah. Nobody wants to go to strip clubs now. I mean, oof.
Everybody knows you're not allowed to touch the stripper, though.
That's true.
So you have to stand like 6 feet back. There you go.
How New York City strip clubs are handling the coronavirus outbreak. This is a true story from the New York Post. And what they say now is, like, Flash Dancers NYC is conducting thorough deep cleans twice a day between each shift. That's right. And strippers are also wearing face masks.
Oh.
Now, that's hot. Like, to have a stripper come out dressed in, like, a hazmat suit and then slowly takes the hazmat suit off, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
The taped gloved hands takes off the breathing mask.
Yep.
That could be, somebody might be into that. Oh, no.
I mean, like the last thing I think people would want to do if there's a virus outbreak would be to go to... They also have hand sanitizer stations around the clubs, around the gentlemen's clubs. So please, before your lap dance, please get your,
They didn't have that before?
No, apparently not.
Well, they should have.
They're actively monitoring dancers' health. I wonder if there should be a federal bailout for them.
I mean.
There should be. They're a business.
They're a business.
Working moms, you know what I mean? Like, try to support their kids.
Yeah, working moms, working college. They're always college students.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be the best excuse guys ever had. Ready? Here's the excuse. Honey, I was trying to get Purell. Little Darlings is distributing 50,000 bottles of hand sanitizer for free to paying customers. So if you go in, you'll get a bottle of hand sanitizer. So you come home from the club, you stink like perfume, right? You got confetti all over you. Your wife goes, were you at a gentleman's club tonight? Yes, yes, but I got us Purell. I got us hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
See that? I only went to get the hand sanitizer. Honey, listen. I tried CVS.
Yep.
I tried Duane Reade. Little Darlings is where I got it. Little Darlings.
We needed hand sanitizer.
And Deja Vu Showgirls in Vegas or Florida, I believe, is giving out 10,000 free face masks to customers. Honey, I tried to get one at Home Depot, tried to get one at CVS. I had to go to Deja Vu. Try to keep my family safe here, honey.
Our health
depends on it. I got to do what I got to do. Right, our health depends upon it. Yes, exactly right. These clubs have given men the best excuse.
Yes.
It's actually brilliant marketing if you think about it, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's brilliant marketing. They've given the men the perfect excuse they need to be able to go to these clubs and not... I mean, they're still going to get in big, big trouble. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean. Now, as far as virus movies go, we talked about the movie Outbreak. How about the movie Contagion? Have you seen that one?
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie, right?
I think that's my favorite. I haven't seen all the ones that you guys have mentioned, but Contagion, I think, is the best. The ones I've seen.
Now, Bill, what did you not like about Outbreak? Bill, are you there? Where the hell's Bill? Where did Bill go?
They are. He just texted me. They're working in his studio.
Oh, okay.
His studio is on the fritz right now.
All right, we should have a contest to see who can come. Like what's the best zombie outbreak movie? A couple people have said Omega Man with Charlton Heston is the original I Am Legend.
Oh.
And then other people have said, but the original to that original is actually a Vincent Price movie called The Last Man on Earth, which was made, I believe, in the 1950s or 60s.
Yeah, it was based on a novel, 1954 novel by Richard Matheson.
Called The Last Man on Earth?
Yes, I believe so.
So you had those three movies, but people said Omega Man was great. They liked that movie a lot. And a lot of people like Contagion. I think that was a very good movie because that's probably the most realistic of all of them.
Yep.
I like the movie where everybody turns into a zombie at the end. That's kind of my thing because I do think it's going to happen ultimately. The corona, yeah, I do. I mean, based on what I've been told from the White House, this is off the record, but the coronavirus will mostly likely turn us all into zombies, flesh-eating zombies.
Would you stop?
So, you know, I'm just saying.
Do zombies live forever? Zombies don't live forever.
No,
right?
No, that's Nancy Pelosi,
Greg.
You're very confused by that.
Apologies. Yes, that's right.
Now, sure. I have a question. We've heard about candidates canceling these big rallies. What about debate? What about watch parties, Dawn? What about watch parties? ABC's Terry Moran says that people at Bernie's watch party are talking about the corruption of the Democrat Party. My question is, why is Bernie allowing there to be a watch party?
It's a great question.
Great question, right?
Great question.
Cut 12. Gathering.
This is a pretty good turnout for a watch party, which is essentially what it is here in Detroit. And there's undoubtedly a sense of disappointment. You can hear it. Some people talking about the corruption of the Democratic Party, what they see as the establishment getting behind Joe Biden. But most people having a sense, you know, he's run the race. He's run the good race, Bernie Sanders has, and changed the way Democrats think about health care and other issues as well. The question is, will they vote? Will they fight for a Joe Biden candidacy? Many are very worried. You talk to people, they're worried about what they fear is Trump will slice Joe Biden up in debate because they sense a feebleness, frankly, in Joe Biden, as do a lot of voters, as does the Trump campaign.
You hear that? Wow. Slice Joe Biden up.
What? Ouch.
Slice him up.
There's so much wrong with that clip.
Right?
Yes.
First of all, the crowd sounds huge.
Yes.
They're all shaking hands and drunk and spitting on each other and, right, hugging.
Yep.
You know that's happening.
Yep.
Anybody's ever been to an election party, is that, or they're all depressed and they're hugging. We'll get through. They're all spreading the coronavirus germs to each other.
Where did it start? A Bernie Sanders watch party.
Yeah, a watch party. America, I'm sorry, but as a parting gift, you're all getting the COVID-19.
Thanks for voting for me.
Oops. They're all hugging and kissing, and then they talk about they're going to cut Joe Biden, slit his throat, throw him in the back like he's it's a Breaking Bad episode.
Wow.
Put him in a body bag, Bernie. Put him in a body bag. Amazing.
That might be my favorite clip of the day.
How violent was that at the end? Can you just play the end of Terry Moran at the coronavirus watch party, the COVID-19 share party?
The question is, will they vote? Will they fight for a Joe Biden candidacy? Many are very worried. You talk to people, they're worried about what they fear is Trump will slice Joe Biden up in debate because they sense a feebleness, frankly, in Joe Biden, as do a lot of voters, as does the Trump campaign.
Slice him up, dice him up, put him in a wood chipper. What is spread them out on their lawn. Joe Biden's going to become mulch. Donald Trump's mulch. They walk down the White House lawn and go, excuse me, look at my beautiful mulch. It's made of Joe Biden. Just a wacky cut, right?
Yes. I don't know. I don't even know what was happening there.
There's people in the back going, ah, kiss me, hug me, ah, we're doomed, ah. Take my germs, please. All right, well, I don't know what to tell you. James Carville had the best advice for Bernie Sanders. He said it's over. But of course, in James Carville's usual way, he says, shut this puppy down. All these Democrats using these crazy analogies.
According to 538, there's a 99-to-1 chance that Vice President Biden is going to be the nominee. Let's shut this puppy down and let's move on and worry about November. This thing is decided. There's no reason to keep it going, but not even a day longer.
Let me ask if this is a potential reason to keep it going, because Senator Sanders and his movement and his supporters want to be respected. They want to be part of what the Democratic Party is moving forward. They want to see changes that reflect their concerns, not pushing Senator Sanders out of the race before he's comfortable leaving might allow the Biden campaign a chance to court them rather than having to fight them.
But first of all, Rachel, it's the Democratic voters that made this decision. Vice President Biden is not trying to force him out. You got to respect voters. You respect the people in South Carolina and Virginia and Michigan and all the places that they're working. I mean, yes, there has to be respect, but you have to have respect for democracy. And this is very clear what Democrats around the country are saying. And just everywhere that you go, they come in, James, we got to get rid of this guy. What are we doing? And these are not ordinary times. And we got to, you know, of course, the vice president, he's the guy in the lead. He's got to take the lead here. We got to bring this party together. We have to stop this. This is not to any avail to continue this thing any longer. It really isn't. And we can have respect and we can have admiration for what Senator Sanders and his supporters have accomplished. But we got to respect Democratic voters. You got to respect people in the Mississippi Delta. In Sunflower County, Mississippi. You got to respect people in Oakland County, Michigan. You got to respect people in Orangeburg, South Carolina. You got to respect people in Loudoun County, Virginia. I mean, this is what this is really about. The Democratic voters have spoken. They've spoken unambiguously and clearly, and they need to be listened to.
How do you argue with that, by the way?
Wow.
James Carville's like, would you just let the voters decide and shut up?
Zip it, Matt Al.
Wow. Too bad he didn't shush her like Joe Biden did. Shush!
You think the Democratic Party is going to listen to him, or you think they're going to take the advice of the Rachel Maddows who are like...
Oh, yeah, they're not listening to that old James Carville. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That old crazy guy. Oh, Harry's in Newark, Delaware. Harry, you got a movie? What's the suggestion?
My suggestion is World War Z.
That's a good one. Brad Pitt and Katie Fallinger
in
that movie.
Yeah, I mean... They treated the whole thing like it was something similar to rabies, but very virulent.
Yeah, that's a great one. No, Katie Fillinger is in that movie. At the beginning of the movie, he's in the kitchen. It takes place in Philadelphia, and he's in the kitchen making pancakes with his wife, and the CBS3 morning news is on, and Katie's giving the forecast. 100%.
Sweet.
Yep. Go back and watch it. Katie Fillinger's a movie star. I always tell her that's a true story.
But I don't know if she's like,
thank you, Harry.
Brad Pitt and Katie Fillinger.
That's all. If you look at the movie poster, Brad Pitt, Katie Fillinger, World War Z.
We love Katie, but I.
That's a true story right there. Okay. I'm just telling you, that's the fact. All right.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. We have 49 degrees right now with Zeoli Show News. Some COVID-19 headlines. Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley declaring the quote, the pandemic has now arrived in the city of Philadelphia. One confirmed case of COVID-19, 17 under investigation. So he's among the health commissioners in our region, including in Montgomery County, recommending people do not attend public gatherings that would have more than 5,000 people, including, they say, sporting events. They say watch sports on TV. That's what they're
at a bar, at a crowded bar with people instead.
Yeah, go to the bar. I think they're saying stay at home.
By the way, where does the 5,000 number come from?
Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting to me. Where does the why 5,000?
Like, if you were going to go to an event, wouldn't you want 50,000 people there? Doesn't that reduce your chances of coming in? If there's a guy there with coronavirus?
Right.
I want more people, not less, right? I'd rather. I'm more scared of being in an elevator with four people than at a sporting event with 50,000.
Me too.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All right.
I don't know. The two most common COVID-19 symptoms, a fever, a dry cough, which obviously could be a lot of things. Yes, I know. See, there are currently about a dozen confirmed coronavirus cases in the entire state of PA. And that includes that one, the eight cases in Montgomery County, stemming from that doctor at CHOP in KOP, traveled overseas, went back to work at the Children's Hospital branch in the burbs, prompting school closures across the suburbs, including Lower Marion schools, where the doctor resides with his wife. His wife, by the way, testing positive, and his children reportedly go to Germantown Academy. So that's why all the schools got closed. We're told that most of those are now reopening. They've done a lot of testing, a lot of cleaning, so that looks clear.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, thank
good.
That's some good. I do have some good news here. Westchester University, a lot of college campuses like Westchester, they're going into spring break anyway.
Right.
So that's the deal. They're saying, look, let's just close and stop all the hysteria. We'll clean really good. Enjoy your spring break. Have a few extra days. And then we'll, you know, regroup afterwards.
I heard a couple of them during spring break are going to set up to have classes go cyber for the rest of the year.
Yes. So that's a big thing that a lot of high schools doing that, too, or talking about it. St. Patrick's Day observance.
But then you said kids don't really get it. So, I mean, it kind of feels like. I guess the bigger question is. Maybe they're worried about the teachers, right?
Right.
Yeah, the teachers.
Exactly. St. Patrick's Day Observance Association announcing St. Patty's Day Parade this weekend in Philadelphia, which is huge.
This is a big mistake. I'll tell you why. Why they're canceling it, right?
Yes, they're canceling it.
What did they say?
They said, Mayor Kenney tweeted out, I hope people don't go to this weekend St. Patty's.
Such a jerk.
So then, you know, what are they going to do? So then they announced it and said, oh, we regrettably were, because I think they were thinking it's outside.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not only that, but everybody drinks on the St. Patrick's Day. You've been to that parade, right?
Of course.
It is unbelievable. It's like the one day you're allowed to drink in the Mummers Parade. And it's an outdoor beer festival. That's a lot of antibacterial sanitizer is my point.
That's right.
There's a lot of booze on your hands, hands.
And you're with people you know. So if your cousin, like Vinny, just went to Italy, you'd be like, didn't you just get out of here? They're people you know, so you know where they've been.
By the way, if somebody just went to Italy shows up, they're going to get beat down on the streets. They're not going to get out of here. They should keep that parade. That's stupid.
That's a sin. So we look forward to next year.
You'll be like, you have any hand sanitizer? No, but I got Yingling. And then you put your hands out, and then you're good, right? You're good. You're fine.
We have to update the story Mama Zioli first alerted us to, the Texas toddler, because I know she's very concerned about this as a grandmother.
Be careful, baby.
That's the new Surgeon General. My President Trump just appointed her. That's her message to the nation.
So as Mama Zioli reported, there was a Texas toddler who tested positive for COVID-19. We believe the first toddler in America. So the child's father, who's in his late 30s, had traveled to California late last month. This is the CDC confirming that now he and his wife and their three-year-old, yes, they tested positive for COVID-19. Interestingly, though, their other three kids who tested negative. So the CDC says the family is back in Texas. They're quarantined inside their home with, thank God, mild symptoms. So this is nothing severe. So thank goodness for that.
Well, Dawn, that's why we talked earlier about what would you need if you had to be quarantined at your house for a couple weeks? Because it could happen, right?
Yes.
More than anything, the reason why I'm trying to not get this thing is because it's just going to be a gigantic pain in the neck. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if I had to be quarantined in the house for 2 weeks with my children, I probably wouldn't make it. I'm just telling you right now, sanity-wise, I would not make it. I'd be like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining at some point. There's just no way I'm going to make it. So I need to have lots of things to be able to entertain and occupy me, right?
I would pay money if Bridget would just set up the iPad like to FaceTime Live or whatever and just watch Zioli at home.
Well, if I'm quarantined, I'm doing the show from home. I'm just going to do it from, you know. And I'll be all Alex Jones. I'll be like, they won't let me leave. National Guard's in my driveway. Can't get out.
Actually, it'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
We have COVID.
Just pretend that's what's happening.
If you're quarantined, though, you probably couldn't be around your wife and kids.
Depends. If they think that you've already given it to them, then they might
just
quarantine
like the
them,
Texas
too.
Family.
I don't know. Yeah,
you're all going to be. Okay, real quick, COVID-19 causing concern for brides. Where do most prom dresses and bridal gowns come from? China. And factories have been closed, so they're all on back order. So brides are freaking out. Hmm. And the final story is...
By the way, why are we having the prom if there's a freaking outbreak?
Or a wedding.
Yeah, or a wedding, oh, right, gee. Exactly. Are these large gatherings, right?
Oh, my goodness.
See, that's why this whole 5,000 number is a fugazi number that the city of Philadelphia put
small
out.
Small wedding.
Because a wedding's at 200 people. If one person there is coronavirus, you're more likely to interact with that person than you would at a 50,000-person Flyers game or something, or 25,000, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Don't kiss people at the wedding. No hugging. You have to stand 6 feet back.
So they'd be like, okay, now you may kiss the bride, but not really. 6 feet away and don't touch her.
Fist bump.
Yeah, fist bump the bride, right. Do that Wuhan toe dance with the bride. As Michael Pelka put it yesterday, the Wuhan toe. Is he in for Dom today, by the way?
He is, yes.
Yeah, Michael Pelka, who's terrific, stunt brain. Dom is quarantined with the COVID-19 as well,
no.
I believe.
So. Don't even say that.
Dom texted me yesterday. He just lost his voice.
He lost his voice.
He went to the ENT.
No big deal.
He's not sick.
He just lost his voice because of the coronavirus. No big deal.
No, it's not at all.
Finally, this is the top fugazi. This is COVID-19 a unique robbery weapon? So a Facebook post showed up with a screenshot of a news story with the headline, Coronavirus, Florida man arrested for robbery using cough as a weapon.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And unfortunately, the photo is of an Asian man with a quote, if you call police, I will cough on you.
That's amazing. That's an amazing weapon.
So
you are the weapon. You are the walking biological weapon.
But Facebook said this is not true. This was like somebody posted this and it was satirical.
Fugazi.
People took it as real. And so it went viral.
No, it'd be a great movie, though, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The guy has the teller, he hands her a note. If you call the police, I will cough on you. I have COVID-19. what are you going to do? Like, right? Yeah. All right.
Well, here's your cash.
There's your cash. Have a nice day.
So I guess depending on how much cash you have on you, you're going to maybe take your chances.
I always give this rule. If anybody ever tries to rob you or mug you, just give them your money. Give them the wallet. It's only a thing. That can be replaced, you know?
No, if somebody says they're going to cough on me, I'm not giving up my pocketbook.
Why not?
If that's all they have, I'll take my chances.
You'll take your chances.
Yeah.
Be like, oh no! It turns out so it wasn't COVID-19. It was like hepatitis. Why do you care? Give him the purse and get out of there.
A woman, do not separate a woman from her.
Oh man.
Pocketbook.
I mean, I'll hunt them down later and kill them, but you know, for the time being, give up your purse. I'm not saying like it's over, but you know.
We finally found the line for Dawn, though.
What
she would. Where she would step over, where she's ready to go to protect her poor purse. She'd take a cough.
My pocketbook and my children. All right, the forecast from NBC 10 First Alert Weather. Today and tomorrow, 58, partly sunny, nice mild days. Friday, 71 degrees, but with a 70% chance of showers, mostly in the morning. So Friday afternoon and evening look nice. The weekend, partly sunny in the upper 50s, much like today. So a nice weekend ahead. Reporting from the radio.com world headquarters, I'm Dawn Ciely Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Of course, the White House right now is trying to reassure the markets and reassure everybody that they are on top of this. And the president wants to also offer up a temporary payroll tax cut, as well as some money to pump up some of these industries that are being hurt by the coronavirus fear, et cetera, et cetera. This is the president yesterday at the White House. He and Mike Pence and some of the other people from the coronavirus task force had a press conference, and the president talked about the economic issues here and also what he's going to ask Congress for.
We are working very closely with the cruise line industry and very, very closely. They're taking very strong steps in terms of people going on and going off. But they're spending a lot of money and they are working very hard, and we're going to be helping that industry. Likewise with the airline industry, they're taking very, very strong steps for people coming into our country, even getting off the planes. So we are working very closely with them. We're helping them. They're two great industries and we'll be helping them through this patch. And so far, I think it's been going very well. You know all about the big ship that came in yesterday, and that's going along incredibly well, working with the state of California successfully, very successfully, also with Canada and with UK. So the UK is taking their people, their citizens back, and Canada is about 600 people. They're coming back. They're being met and brought to planes and being brought very, very, in a very, very dignified fashion back into Canada.
Now, the question, of course, of whether or not the Democrats will go along with what the president wants to do, because it's an election year, and obviously they don't want to give him any wins here, and they also don't want to do too much to help the economy, because he's the guy in the office. And, you know, if the economy were to tank, well, that's on him. And there's no doubt in my mind that Democrats are thinking those kind of things because that's politics. It's how it works. Jay is in Florida. Jay, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you making out?
Doing well. Biden, did you, how do you think he's doing?
I got to be honest with you, brother. I see him obviously beating Sanders, but I just don't see him being the nominee. I think they're going to need, he's breaking down more and more every day. And I'll bet you if you were to do an analysis of how many of the words that are coming out of his face, how many of them are actually threatening some of the people that, you know, just ask him, you know, not even challenging questions, you probably get a pretty high percentage. So, you know, like that incident yesterday with him saying he'll take the guy outside and all that good stuff. You know, what's he going to do when he gets on stage with Trump and Trump's like, yeah, okay, you don't even know what week it is. And he's going to, then I'll take you outside. Yeah, okay, Joe. It'll be just like with Jeb. Okay, Jeb, you're tough. Okay. It'll be the same thing. He could literally, like the guy was saying, you know, that Trump would slice him up. He could kill him. He could have a heart attack on stage, man. He's not going to be able to handle Donald Trump. There's no way.
Well, whether he has a physical heart attack or not, there's no way, to your point, he's going to be able to handle him. It's going to be a bloodbath. Hey, Jake, always great to hear from you, bud. Enjoy Florida and wash your hands, all right?
I will. I'll be rocking my Zioli Army shirt the whole time.
Thank you. Keep it nice and hygienic for everybody.
You got it, brother.
You got it. Thanks, Jay. At least if you're quarantined in Florida, that's kind of fun. At least you're down there. It's good weather. Now, listen, here's the deal. What is going to happen with regards to the coronavirus? The former Homeland Security Advisor for the president, Tom Bostert, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post, and he says, we've got a few days to act or we won't be able to do anything to contain it. Is he right? Is he now part of the hysteria that's going on? And Fox News' Tucker Carlson says people are minimizing the coronavirus damage. Straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.